Come on! All right, now cut her free.
What the hell are you doing to her?
I punched her in the face.
Oh, you punched her in the face. She's half your size and you punch her in the face?
She had a gun.
Oh, she had a gun. So that makes everything all right, does it?
No, I'm not saying it makes everything all right. I'm just trying to explain to you that for all I knew, she could have been a karate expert or something.
With a broken arm. With a broken arm!
Okay, I'm sorry. Now just cut her free!
Hi and welcome to the Olympic Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
And
very bearded Douglas.
very unemployed Douglas.
Thank you very much,
really,
Andrew.
Let yourself loose.
And tonight we have with us a guest. He does a podcast for Fat Guys at the Movies, The Celluloid Spotlight, as well as The Idiot Boxers. He writes for Film School Rejects, as well as his own website, MerylBar.com. How are you doing tonight, Meryl?
I'm doing good. How about you?
We're good over here.
Wait, sorry, are you speaking for me now?
Yes, I am.
How do you know
you're
if I'm
unemployed?
Good?
You don't get a say.
Exactly.
See, that's why you need a job. Otherwise, you can't pull rank.
I teach.
I have a job. You don't get a job. Like, it was true. Your mother once said, "One day, you know, one day, Damien, you're not gonna be able to pull rank over Andrew because you won't have a job." She was right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was going for a joke there, pal.
Anyways, usually we start out with what we've been watching this week. Meryl, what have you been watching?
I saw the new Tony Scott film Unstoppable, and it is a riot, to say the least. I loved it. I have not had more fun, one with a Tony Scott movie in years, and I haven't had more fun in an action thriller in a while, and I think the last time I had this much fun in the theater, I saw the A-Team over the summer.
Ah, oh, nice.
It sneaks up on you too, because it starts and it looks all cliche, and it is. It's a very cliche movie, but it starts and you're just like, and then all of a sudden, Ethan Suplee jumps off the train to turn in on the brakes, and he accidentally turns on the accelerator. And then all hell breaks loose, and it's just such a fun movie, and I just had such a good time watching it, and I highly recommend it. When it gets over to you guys, I highly recommend you go check it out.
Yeah, actually, it is out. No, we're just.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I just haven't quite watched it. I didn't get. We haven't quite gotten over the taking of Pelham yet. So
I like the taking of Pelham. I'm liking the minority on this one. I like taking of Pelham, but
you talk
I'm
wrong.
Like I'm in the minority. But Unstoppable is definitely a step up over taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. Yeah. The only issue is that the first 10 minutes is so brooding. It's just like, oh, Chris Pine is like looking at his kids from afar because he's got a restraining order against his wife, and his wife has custody of the kids. And it's so brooding and emotional, and then the fun begins.
Well,
so if you get past the first 5 minutes, you're in the clear.
Okay. Good to know.
Anything else, Meryl?
Of what I've been watching?
Yeah, literally, you can go on for around 20 minutes, we won't care.
Yeah, we generally, like, Andrew's gotten to the point now, he used to try and stop us after maybe 5 minutes. Now he knows. We just keep going until we actually finish with everything.
The other thing I've been watching is a show on CW, the reboot of Nikita, which is another version of the film of Nikita, which was a 80s or early 90s. It was a French film by Luc Besson.
Yeah.
French action film. So this is another TV series called The Femme Nikita on
USA.
The United States,
yeah,
in the mid-90s. So this is another version of that. This one's produced by Mick G. And let me tell you, I have not seen better storytelling on TV in a while. I don't know why the CW does this weird thing where they'll put out shows like Melrose Place and 90210 and Gossip Girl, but in the same at the same time they'll put out Smallville, Supernatural, and now Nikita, and I can't get over how good Nikita really is. It's just every week they just hit it out of the park, and it's a must watch for anyone who loves good TV.
I disagree. 100%.
Wow, Damien.
Before we get to Damien's disagreement, because we know he'll be epic in some way for a
fact. No. Damien will be phenomenal. Okay.
You said that it's a CW show, and you didn't mention shows like Smallville. Aren't those like Fox shows or something?
No,
CW is.
It was WB, and then they merged into CW.
Oh, okay.
WB used to be WB and UPN, and then those two channels merged to create CW. And the remnants of their little bullshit deal was the My Network Television, which is a piece of crap.
Okay, I just wondered about that. Anyways, you can continue.
Right. Maggie Q plays Nikita, and Maggie Q can't act. She's really bad.
The best acting comes from Lindsay Francesca more than it does Maggie Q.
True, but Maggie Q as Nikita is very bad. Because
you think so?
Yeah, they just find excuses to have her half naked most of the time, and I think that's where Mel's getting.
Oh wait, distracted. Sorry. Wait, stop, stop.
Well, I mean,
did you just say
two words,
half
man?
Naked?
CW, this is what they do.
Half of every episode, she finds some reason to be in lingerie for no.
I think I need to hit up some hoodoo.
And you're complaining about this? And
I wouldn't.
That's what I'm saying,
man. Porn.
I think it's time for me to hit up some hoodoo.
Did
episodes.
You ever watch Alias?
No. No. It's just, it's not as good as the USA show that preceded it. And.
Right.
Seriously, Maggie Q being on screen for long periods of time, it just really shows how not good an actress she is. And I don't think the storytelling is that good at all. I think it's heavy-handed in a lot of areas. And they're trying to weave in, some political stuff with the kick-assery. And it feels disjointed to me. My sister is probably the biggest Nikita fan in the world. She's watched all, I think it's 99 episodes of the last on the USA series.
I couldn't tell you.
No, I'm telling you.
Okay.
99.
You look like you had a bit of a question in there.
No, I was just...
I'm looking it up right now. I think you're right, though. I think it is 99.
And she also has the movie, the first movie. And
yeah,
she
right.
absolutely
has
hates.
She watched the American movie that in no ways associated
okay, I mean,
with this,
I,
but
I,
clearly
I,
is a remake of the film.
Yeah. It's called Point of No Return, and
right.
I refuse.
And
it's got Bridget Fonda.
Yeah, and Gabriel
right.
Byrne, yeah.
Yeah, that's just no.
My sister tried with this. I mean, I gave up after like 4 episodes. And my sister, like every week she watches the episodes. She does, like every morning I get home and she's just angry. She cannot understand why they're doing this to the characters, and this doesn't make any sense and whatever. So I'm definitely not on the same boat. People should, I mean, if you're not a fan by the first 3 episodes, then you'll know that you'll never, nothing else is there for you to watch. Now if you enjoy seeing Maggie Q half naked, there's this place called Google Images
just,
is really
I don't know,
good.
Man. I
mean, it's really
good. I think the show's really got it. I think the best part is no, the way the movie plays out is Nikita, after killing someone at a pharmacy, spoilers, kills someone at a pharmacy and is taken by this group of the French government and is turned into an assassin. The way they play that out in the show is that there's this girl, Alex, who's following that journey, but she's actually Nikita's mole. And I like the route they're taking.
Yeah, but how is it that the mole, she's like 18, 16, 18, something like that, and she's broken into this top secret section of the government.
She lied her way in. She,
right. And she's able to outsmart. Remember, these guys are the best of the best. They're like the double
Nikita,
O agents.
Nikita was trained, and Nikita is the best of the best of the best. So
no, not really. Michael is the best of the best.
She can train Alex to outsmart the best of the best.
Yes, but Michael is the best of the best. Even the show.
Okay,
even
wait,
the
stop,
movie.
stop. Are we really having an argument?
No.
Where, hold on.
Yes,
in order to win, you just have to say best more than the next man? Is that what we're doing?
I've said it twice. Michael is.
I'm holding myself so, from making a trace.
So Michael would be the 007 of this entire place, and then he trained Nikita to be, you know, a great assassin, and she somehow escaped using Michael's help, and they've completely nerfed the fact that Michael is a super agent, and he's just. He's just in the way, and Nikita and this inside agent has somehow found a way to deceive like the best secret agency in the world, and it just doesn't make any sense. There's no way these two people are smart enough to do what an entire section of the a secret section of the government.
That's any show, you know. I mean, it's kind of like an Alias, where it's like, really, SD6 is able to operate under the guise of the CIA, and the CIA doesn't even find out until Jack Bristow comes forward. I mean, it's the same idea. It's a matter of suspension of disbelief. Of course, in real life, these two people would not be able to take down this government agency, but that's the beauty of television.
All right, fair enough.
So yeah, anything else you want to mention, Meryl?
Nothing that comes to mind at the moment. Nothing I haven't already talked about before.
Okay, Douglas.
Okay, well, Andrew is about to hate me way more than he does, or he did before, but I watched The Kids Are Alright, which is apparently a movie Andrew wanted to select as something for us to watch, and he saw me, he walked in on me, and he's like, oh, damn it, I can't choose that movie anymore. But yeah, it was an awesome little movie. I love Mark Ruffalo, and the rest of the cast is good too. You've got Julianne Moore, that's who I was thinking of, and Annette Bening, and it's a fun little story about how crazy family can get when you inject a little bit of chaos, and I enjoyed that. Also, I watched a horrible Jamaican movie by the name of Better Must Come.
Wait, stop.
I know, it's redundant. I'm sorry.
We didn't mention this. How have we not mentioned this? What? I have to mention this because...
Was it your thing?
My thing. Yeah. The Gleaner has published my article, Top 5 Jamaican Films, and they've called me and said that they want me to write a weekly thing for them now. So, I'm in The Gleaner. I'm kind of... That's kind of awesome for me, and I'm really happy.
Congrats.
Now we can move on.
Okay.
You can talk about Better Must Come.
Better Must Come. This movie is horrible, horrible, horrible. At first, I thought it was going to be a remake of West Side Story, which would have been fine, except it wasn't that. And it just kind of kept going and meandering, and then it ended. And I'm just like, what? I don't understand. Okay, screw that.
So what is Jamaican about this movie now? It was shot here, that's it?
It was shot here.
Jamaican actors.
Bunch of Jamaican guys that are talking in Patois, and I don't know who the director is.
Yeah, he is, apparently.
I don't know.
So you're saying there were musical scenes?
There were a couple, yes. Really? Actually, there was one or two...
Like they just randomly broke out into song, and they did a dance.
Watch it and you will see. No, this movie was bad. Actually, funny little fact. Well, no, let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
One last thing that I've been watching is a little gem. I can't remember if I talked about this last podcast. I don't think I did. But it is one of the funniest new TV shows that I've seen in a long time. And it's not extremely new. It's actually out. It's been out for... one full season, and now it's going through. It's halfway through its second season. It's called The League. It's got.
Oh, you just broke my heart.
What? You don't like that show?
No, I gave it. I've got a screener from FX for it because I'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
Of her season two, and I watched the first. I watched the first three episodes, and it just bored me to tears. It bored me worse to tears than Sunny does. It's that crass, sarcastic Conan O'Brien humor that I don't like, and I just couldn't stand it.
Okay,
just,
So you're about to hate me even more because I am a staunch fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Conan O'Brien.
I mean, apparently the way it goes is if you like Sunny, you like the league. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense.
That makes
then. Is everything okay there, Andrew?
Is there a second Douglas?
Apparently there is.
No, my headphones popped out. It's just coming in.
Okay.
Just as a side note, since we mentioned it, I have to say that I've given up on It's Always Sunny. It's in its sixth season though, and like literally it's gone 5-6 episodes and it's had one good episode.
Really?
Like, I'm
done. Which one's your the one you like? Because I've seen
like
most
the
of
Halloween the episode that recently aired.
The one, oh, I haven't seen that one yet, so.
The rest of the episodes and seasons have been complete and utter trash.
Yeah, I just, the only thing I've liked from this season, and I haven't watched, I've watched literally season 1 and 2, stopped watching, and then I started getting experience from FX, so now I'm in this season. The only thing I liked from this season was the one where they get the boat, and then Charlie accidentally sets the boat on fire, and he's like, hey guys, what are you doing? The boat's on fire? I don't know why. Because the boat's on fire. And then they all hop off. That was the only funny thing of this entire season.
Anyways, yeah.
That's horrible. I mean, I have stopped watching it, but that's just because, you know, I'm lazy and...
I know
I'm unemployed, so I'm sure I'll start watching it again. But, wow, horrible. Anyway, yeah, the league is amazing. It's got Mark Duplass, and a bunch of other people that you don't really know.
What is it about?
It is about a fantasy football league.
Not interested.
See, that was my thought too. I was like, I don't follow fantasy football. I don't give a
But the good thing about this show is that you don't need to know anything about, you know, fantasy football or about regular football. Every once in a while, they'll throw in a name. But it won't be that, you know, oh, Chad Ochocinco had 100 running yards and shit like that.
Wow.
It'll be like,
you guys just added yourselves a football fan, sir.
It'll be like, you know, oh, I need to get whatever his name is, and then they'll be funny about it. They won't actually dwell on the football stuff.
No.
The only thing I've ever seen funny from that show, because I went back and watched it a little bit, was there was this one episode where one of the guys needed to get his child to stop being obsessed with this character on TV.
So
he has the guy dress up like
Mr. Jiggles.
He's like, hey, I need you to scare the crap out of my kid. So dress up with this thing and come over. And there's this one shot where the dude's sitting in his TV, sitting watching TV, and the Barney-esque character walks up to the window and he knocks and scares the crap out of him. That was the only funny thing I've seen from the show so far.
Whatever, dude. I actually really like that they had a callback to that episode on the last episode. Was it the last one? I'm not sure if it was the last one, but it was the Halloween one. They actually had somebody in that suit appear again.
Right.
So, Damien, what have you been watching this week?
Well, I saw Jim Jeffries' new special, Alcohol Holocaust. And it is amazing. If you like, you don't know who Jim Jeffries is.
No, I don't know.
So he's an Australian stand-up comic, and he's terrific. His last special was I Swear to God, and
I think you've mentioned that one to me.
Right.
Like, you've shown me a clip, but
right.
I haven't really gone.
He's like the inner Damien. on screen, he says things that I think all the time, but I'm not allowed to say because I'd be punched in the face. And this new one, he is able to make jokes about almost anything, and there is no reverence to any topic. He starts out by mocking lesbians, and which is, fair game. Anyone can do that. But he ends by mocking one of his friends with muscular dystrophy. And, when you get everyone in the audience on your side, after you pretty much you've gone through religion and terrorism, lesbians, politics. Everywhere he went, the crowd was with him. And he's so good. A lot of people won't like it because a lot of people have this thing that prevents them from having a good feelings, right? That's what it is, feelings. And I don't have that, and it's hilarious. Outside of that, I saw the kids are alright, which is great. And then I watched a whole lot of TV. I finally finished season 2 of Dark Blue. And yo, if you like season 1 of Dark Blue, guess what? Yeah, they made a second season. Dexter is terrible. I'm pretty much, I think I'm in the clear saying that now. I've tried with Dexter and it's going friggin' nowhere.
What show?
Dexter.
Dexter?
Yeah.
As in the Showtime
show, yeah, Dexter? Yeah, the Showtime show, Dexter.
I hate you. I love Dexter. Dexter so much.
I used to love Dexter.
What?
I used to love Dexter, but this
season
is
what are you up to? Do you mean the current season?
Yeah.
The one where they just aired. Did you see the one where Lumen shoots the dude and they're trying to find him in the warehouse?
No, that's the last episode.
There's one after that that I actually haven't watched because I saw that episode and there's one that I haven't seen.
Because that episode, it's called Everything is Illuminated, is the best episode of the season. It's what happens is Lumen finds one of the guys who raped her.
Right.
And she takes him to a warehouse, shoots him, and then he gets away. He crawls away. So Dexter, she calls Dexter to help come, or she calls Dexter when she shoots him.
Right.
And then when Dexter arrives, she's gone. He's gone. So they spend like a good 40 minutes just trying to find the dude. And the way Dexter does it is he sprays Lumen all over the place, trying to find the little drops of blood. And there's this great back and forth throughout the entire sequence between Dexter and Lumen. And I swear, it's like a really well written romantic comedy. And I loved every second of it. And I think this season is really picking up steam greatly, especially with what they're doing with Peter Weller now. And I'll be interested to see where they go. I'm surprised to hear that you don't like it, actually.
Well, to tell you the truth, Meryl, I haven't been a big fan of this season either. I agree with you that that episode was the best one so far. And I actually really did like that episode that you were talking about. But it's just, I've been waiting and waiting for this season to bloom into the wonderful flower that all the past, has it been three or four seasons? Four seasons have been. And it just hasn't yet. I mean, I hope that they continue with that kind of quality. And like I say, I still have the last episode to watch. So hopefully that one is as good and even better. But I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, I mean, I'll continue to watch it, but I'm just doing that out of hope. Terriers is still awesome.
Terriers is awesome. I love that.
If you are watching Terriers, please just cancel whatever nonsense you usually watch on a Wednesday night and watch Terriers.
Do you watch Terriers, Meryl? Do you like that?
Watch what?
Terriers?
Terriers? Dude, I just got the rest of the season from FX. I have to watch, but I'm up to date on it. I haven't watched this week's yet, but I'm going to. But so far, it's an amazing show. It's a shame because none of its ratings have got, except for the pilot, not a single episode has crossed 1 million viewers. So it's pretty much guaranteed to get canned after this season.
Damn,
and it's a shame because it's a great freaking show.
It's an amazing show. And I think me and you, we need to talk after this podcast about those screeners. Yeah.
The episode 2 weeks ago when they take Donald Logue's friend, I forget his name and his
Brit.
Character's name.
Brit's the character name.
Yeah, Brit. They take Brit, the Mexicans take Brit hostage.
Oh yeah.
And then, you know, towards the end of the episode, he gets out, they go back, they go to his girlfriend's place, and the other guy's there.
Right.
And so what does Don Logue do? He comes up behind him, punches the dude in the head, and gets shot in the shoulder, and he's like, I'm alright. That's what I love about it. So it's Donald Logue just walks around and just like, yeah, I'm an asshole, what are you going to do about it?
I actually really like the sister character in that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they got rid of her, which is a shame.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
She's gone for the season, so.
Oh, it's safe. She's gone for. I was hoping she'd come back at some point this season.
Well, I don't. I mean, she maybe she comes back in the next 4 episodes. I will let you know.
Yeah,
but as of now, she's gone.
She has the same last name.
But I like. I just like the overall feel of the show. It's really it's classic FX, and I'm surprised that the show is of the quality that it is. For an FX detective, it's basically FX's idea of a procedural, and it just didn't click with audiences. Unfortunately, it's also airs at a really crappy time. It airs Wednesdays at 10 o'clock, and
yeah.
There's other more mainstream procedurals on at that time, like Law and Order. So no one really has wants to invest in Terriers unless they're DVRing it. So I don't know unless Fox takes fan consideration into account. I mean, not Fox, FX. Yeah. FX takes fan consideration into account. Most likely that show is done after this season.
I guess as soon as the DVDs hit, we have to buy it.
You can.
Like, yo, son, we want more Terriers.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. DVD sales do factor into a studio's decision to renew. Like, that's what happened with Family Guy. They canceled it, and then DVD sales were huge, so they brought it back. So when that DVD drops, go out, buy that thing. So that's all I can tell you.
It's on my list, don't worry.
That's a very long
are
list
you
have, I think.
Are you guys watching Walking Dead?
Yes. Oh, I forgot about that, actually. Yes, I have been watching that.
God, that's good. That's some good
how
stuff.
How is AMC doing this? I'm pretty sure they're dreaming of. There's some OBEA thing that's going on. There must be blackmailing somebody. That show shouldn't be. I mean, it's better than most horror movies.
I got one issue with that show. The bad guy in the last episode was named Meryl. So... I'm a little upset. You guys didn't catch that? The guy's name was named Merrill. He called him Merle, but
yeah.
Wow.
He was Merrill.
Okay. you see, there's a lot of Andrews in movies.
Trying to think of a good name. Like the only two characters in television history that I know of that have a name Merrill have both been pricks. And it's that guy, and there was a guy on Nip Tuck named Merrill, and he was an asshole.
Merrill, I have you beat. If you go to your computer and you go to Google and you type in Andrew Robinson, my name, the first result will be the guy who played the Scorpio Killer in Dirty Harry.
Oh, that sucks.
Actor.
So it's not
he,
even
also,
just,
he was also I, in Hellraiser.
It's not even just Andrew gets a bad name somewhere. My entire name is a serial killer who is racist, sexist,
that's
perverted. I don't know. And then after all of that comes my Twitter account, my website, and stuff like that.
Yeah, all stupid shit that no one cares about.
So Meryl, I have you beat.
Right. Yes, you do. No, I've got the cooler name.
And I saw Leaves of Grass.
Did you? You watched Leaves of Grass?
Yeah,
what did you think about that?
Why did you watch that movie?
Ed Norton is great. I'd seen it before.
Okay. Before we get anywhere, this week I saw this stupid ass French film called Wild Grass.
Why would you watch that?
So afraid of my recommended
it. Leaves of Grass and was very confused.
A friend of mine recommended it.
Ah,
he told me he was going to watch it with
your
me.
And
friend
I'm
was
guessing
you're
no longer friends with this person.
You should stop being friends with this person.
I probably should.
Yeah, a friend sounds like
Facebook.
An asshole.
But yeah, Leaves of... see, I made the mistake. Wild Grass. It's a really odd, weird movie because it's about this guy who comes upon this wallet, which was this woman's, whose was stolen like a few minutes before, and then he wants to return it to the woman.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then he wants to have this relationship with this woman, but he has a wife, and he's really creepy, and the character seems like he's had some trouble with the law, but I don't think we ever get around to that problem. And it's all narrated by him. And it's narrated in that weird Robert Downey Jr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang way, in that he'll make mistakes and he'll correct himself while he's narrating, which Robert Downey Jr. in Kiss Bang Bang was really good doing it. This one, not so much. It just meanders completely. Like it has aspects which could be cool, like the music and the way the scenes play out and they're shot could be cool, but the story just feels like it goes nowhere and you hate it.
Sounds like a Douglas kind of.
I love what you say. You're like, there are many aspects that are good of this film. I liked the music.
Right, no, you should just bring out the list. You should have that printed up. One cinematography was good. Lighting was great.
But anyways, other movies I really want to talk about. I had a couple of musicals I watched recently, which of course I have to talk about.
Can I step out for
First of all, I watched Funny Girl, the Barbara Streisand film with Omar Sharif. And I really, really loved it. It's... I know I'm talking to the wall right now, but it's...
I'm sure Douglas will watch them at some point.
Maybe.
Like, Barbara, her voice is awesome. I love her musicals.
You like Babs?
Yes, I like Babs.
Okay.
And, I mean, Omar Sharif sings a song, and that's kind of shaky, but I don't... I can skip over that song.
Sexist pig.
But one of the musical I saw recently that you guys would be more interested in, because it's like, even though it's a musical, it has a lot more story and heart to it, is the Chorus Line. It has Michael Douglas in it. He does not sing.
Andrew, mm-hmm. Just for future reference, mm-hmm. When you're trying to sell me on a movie, don't tell me it has heart.
Ah, well, that heart thing is just overrated. You know, that whole thing about emotion.
It's a lame power in Captain Planet.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's about this show, this dance show, which is being put on. Michael Douglas is the director, and they're auditioning for the show. And it opens with, like, hundreds of dancers on the stage dancing and being chosen left, right and center, and it's this huge awesome overture, and then it gets weeded down to these, like, I'm trying to remember if it's 8, 9 or 10 people. I think it's 8 people, and you hear a lot of their personal stories as it goes on, and it's a really awesome movie. I really love it. I put it on par with All That Jazz, which is also a brilliant film. Even though the only thing I would give say about the Chorus Line is that they really didn't need Michael Douglas. They could have put any actor in that role and it would have been fine. Because all he does is he shouts there and says, I mean, I don't want you in this job, why should I hire you? And then they tell him.
Can you stop knocking the podcast table?
Okay. Also this week, I watched Halloween for the very first time.
Wait, which Halloween?
The original
John Carpenter film?
Because
that is a kick-ass film. I love that film.
I loved it. It was really good. Like, it definitely is cheap in certain areas. Like, the thing that... what's his name?
They made
Myers
it on
Myers?
A shoestring, dude.
A cheap John Carpenter movie?
Really?
What?
I've never seen one of those before. Please show it to me.
Didn't he do Titanic? He keeps spending truckloads on one. John Carpenter is.
In a sense,
now,
you
now have you been exposed to any of the other films in the series, or is this your
no,
first time?
No, I have
not.
Other
Myers?
Than seen like a.
You saw the first.
You saw the newest one.
You saw the newest one.
The newest
one.
I'm sorry.
Yes, Halloween. Wait.
No, that's Friday the 13th. Two different franchises.
So you haven't seen any Michael Myers film yet.
No,
all?
Other than maybe a
didn't you see the one with Josh Hartnett and
no.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
No,
I saw that
movies.
One. That
Jamie
was
Lee
horrible.
Curtis is in most. Jamie Lee Curtis is featured in the first one, the second one, the seventh one, and the eighth one.
You're better than me. I know she's in the original, and she's in H2O, I think.
Yeah. Well, the idea behind it is that the original series before Rob Zombie butchered it is that. Michael Myers has a sister named Laurie Strode, and basically his mission is to kill Laurie Strode because he has killed the rest of his family.
Yeah.
Because when he was a child, he killed his older sister.
Yeah.
And Laurie Strode, well, he was
and
a baby.
That opening scene
so,
where he kills his sister. It's
right.
Awesome.
So the way it goes is you have the first one movie, you have the second movie, and then all of a sudden Laurie Strode disappears from the series, and apparently she had a daughter, and that was where so you follow the daughter in the fourth fifth and sixth movie because the third movie is a piece of shit. Because literally the third movie isn't even about Michael Myers. It doesn't even take place within canon of the series. And then what happens is they decide to reboot/remake/make a sequel to the series, and that's what H2O was. And H2O, in theory, is supposed to undo what 4, 5, and 6 did and just start to redo the mythology. And basically, 7 is a direct sequel to the second movie. And then in the eighth movie, Michael finally kills her in the first act.
Somehow this sounds like a Final Fantasy story. Yeah. Like, you know, people talk about the Final Fantasy games, they're like, 3 and 5 are the same, and that's the same, and that one's a sequel, and that... No. Just say, watch 1, and the rest is bullshit. Just say it. That's what you want to say, right, Meryl?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
good. Or just keep it entirely.
No, I would recommend 1 completely.
Horrible.
Yeah, I know.
Bah, humbug. Hey, Skyline. Want to see that movie?
And the last movie I'll talk about is I saw Due Date last night.
I'm sorry.
Is it as good as Hangover?
No. It's not as good, but it is a really funny movie.
You know what's... No, here's the thing is, when I first watched it, I was like, it wasn't terrible, and I saw it with my podcast co-host Hash Aguirre, and Hash didn't like it. He didn't hate it, but he didn't really like it. He thought, like, we basically were in agreement. Robert Downey Jr. was the only good part of the movie, and then I slept on it, and the next morning I woke up and I was like, that movie sucked. And it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth once you get a chance to, like, you once you're away from the theater for a little bit. You're like, God, that was awful. And then, you know what my biggest issue was? Is it felt like they wrote jokes and then wrote characters for the jokes. Like, I won't say spoilers because it's still in theaters. But there's a scene at the end of the movie where Robert Downey Jr. is running through the hospital trying to find his wife who's in labor. And he runs into this one room. Now, wait, which one of you saw it again?
I'm the only one who's seen it.
Okay, Andrew, remember that scene where he's running through the hospital? He runs to the one room. And he sees a black baby?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a feeling that joke was written, and then they were like, we need a black guy, Jamie Foxx. That's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like Jamie Foxx was there. It's like Jamie Foxx exists solely to set up that joke, and that's the way the whole movie plays.
I think you're not completely wrong, but at the same time, you could use that logic on most comedies, because the whole idea of a joke is you set it up to then get the payoff. So,
yeah, but I feel like they wrote the payoff and then wrote the setup. Like, I'm supposed to write the setup, then the payoff.
That's kind of hard to predict, dude.
Is it as good as the other guys?
No, I wouldn't put it on par.
I haven't seen the other guys, so I can tell you. Some people are calling this movie a spiritual remake of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and I can't disagree. But Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was way better.
I don't know if I'd say it's way better. I think they're pretty much the same. The only difference is that in this one, there isn't any real contempt for any transportation industry as John Hughes had with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah, I can agree. It's just, overall, my issue with Zach Galifianakis' character as a whole, because, like, in The Hangover, you get the sense that he's, like, he's a savant. He's a dumbass, but he's a savant. He's like Charlie in Always Sunny. in Due Date, he's just an asshole, and he turns to Robert Downey Jr. and basically says, hey, I'm gonna ruin the rest of your life if you don't help me the hell out.
You see, here lies the thing. Like, you started off complaining about how you felt they basically wrote in shit just so they could have a ridiculous thing at the end, and the thing with this movie
I'm saying they had to do this in the end and wrote shit to get to that point.
Yeah, the thing with this movie is that if you think of it at its real core, the real core is they decided to create two characters who you wouldn't have a problem with them being complete dicks to each other for 90 minutes or however long the movie is. Because Galifianakis is a child who Robert Downey Jr. must put up with to try and get across the border. But then, in putting up with him, Robert Downey Jr. goes crazy and does shit to him. So then, when Galifianakis continues to act like a child and like cry and do stupid shit, you don't feel bad for Robert Downey Jr. who
yeah,
blew
but
up
that's
that
I mean that's
and,
it's
and,
not
hold
that
on,
my,
hold
that's
on,
what
Meryl, hold on, Meryl. And the moment that you just decide to get the jokes of what's happening on screen and laughing at these guys being assholes to each other, it's funny. But if you think about it too much, like most comedies like this, you're just gonna say, hey, it's kind of stupid. And I guess that's what you did, Beryl, in my opinion.
It's just... So I think Robert Downey Jr. did a really great job of what he had, but then this is... It's just... It felt too... on the nose. If you like, Hangover was really cool just because of the way the story was told and the characters. And it's impossible not to compare this movie to The Hangover. Just because of the you know, it's Todd Field's follow-up. It's got Zach Galifianakis in it, etc. Like, for example, there's this scene at the beginning of the movie where Robert Downey Jr. is on the phone. He's telling his wife about a dream he had about a bear. And then Robert Downey Jr. gets high, and you're like, oh, Zach Galifianakis is a bear. And just to make sure that point is set in, at the end of the movie, he repeats the dream to Zach Galifianakis.
It's
just lazy writing.
Let's hold up on that one.
We spoil the joke. That's a big joke at the end.
That's one.
It's not a joke. It's a realization for Robert Downey Jr. It's hardly a joke. It's not funny. It's not. Most of the movie just isn't funny for some reason.
Comedy is subjective.
Everything is subjective.
Well, comedy especially, I find.
Yeah, comedy is the most subjective genre.
Because comedy is all about, do you find it funny? With everything else,
that's
you can
true.
Go like, you can go like, I like that bit about
it's
it in the
Dane
story.
Cook. Son of a bitch.
Dane Cook's career is kind of over.
I haven't heard about him doing anything in a while.
I'm surprised
I'm so
he
happy.
Had one.
Career kind of tanked. He fell out of the line. Like, he doesn't even do stand up that much anymore.
Anyways, I guess we can move on to this story. You say you can't touch this, and I wouldn't touch a punk motherfucker. And I let you know, boy, oh boy, I make dope. But don't call me dope, boy. This ain't no fucking motion picture. A guy or a bitch, my nigga get with you and hit you, taking that yak to the neck. So you better run a shit. Trailers of the week. Jane Eyre.
You mean trailer of the week? Because they're exactly the same.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's another
that's
one
so
I was
true.
Talk
about the Skyline trailer, the second trailer.
Smiling. That trailer looked horrible.
What the Skyline trailer?
Yeah, the Skyline trailer.
Dude, the Skyline trailer. I love how it's like, hey, we're gonna show you all these really cool visuals, but the second we cut to acting, you're gonna want to gag because like, who do they got? They got the guy that plays Turk from Scrubs.
Right.
They got Batista from Dexter.
Yes.
They got the guy who played Milo in 24, and none of these people can act. It's like they said, okay. We need to find every crappy television actor we possibly can, minus Turk. I guess Turk's the exception to that rule. But we need to find every bad television actor we can and put them in this movie.
I don't understand.
He's an exception?
He's talking
what?
About it like it's a bad... I don't understand.
I just don't know. I mean, the visuals look cool, but every time that I see anything that involves acting in the trailer...
Could you repeat the last statement, please? The visuals look...
Visuals look good. They made that movie like on next to nothing. They shot the entire thing in their apartment.
That's it. No, that's all I care about. The visuals. As long as aliens are keep, I couldn't care less. The
Darian,
story, I don't care.
You're
I don't care.
Crazy.
I don't care. I don't want to hear
it. So, how many times did you watch 2012 this week?
A lot. No, not this. I like spectacle. I do. I can't help myself.
Personally, I don't remember this trailer at all.
Which trailer? Draenor?
The Skyline trailer.
No, it's just aliens smoking people. That's all that I want to see. So Jane, haven't they made like 9 million Jane Eyres at this point?
Yes, okay. They have, except for the fact that I'm not quite sure if this has anything to do with Jane Eyre.
Yeah.
Do you know, Jane Eyre, where the wicked go after death?
They go to hell.
And what is hell?
Where are you, Ran?
If you don't sit still, you will be tied down.
A pit full of fire.
Should you like to fall into this pit and be burned there forever?
People think you are good, but you are hard-hearted.
Get out.
Children, I exhort you to withhold the hand of friendship to Jane Eyre.
This is a grand old house, but it can feel a little dreary.
Mr. Rochester's visits are always unexpected.
Your gaze is very direct, Miss Eyre. Do you think me handsome?
No, sir.
You're afraid of me.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah, this trailer looks...
It looks so weird. It looks like it's either a really good suspenseful movie like the others, or it's a really bad movie about this little girl who triumphs over her orphanage life or something. I'm not sure which one it is.
I'm pretty sure I've read that book at some point, you know. I think I had to for school or something. I don't remember. Pretty sure I didn't like it. But the trailer, I don't know. It doesn't. I mean, it has a lot of people that I enjoy watching, but outside of that,
Bono.
Why is he Bono to you?
He looked just like Bono in Fish Tank, and he acted just like Bono in Fish Tank.
Are you really delving the depths of Douglas
Wild Grass?
I'm fairly certain he probably even sang a couple, you know, U2 songs while he was having sex with a minor.
Fair.
Wow. Anyways, there are these two trailers which came out in the last 2 weeks, which seem very similar. And it's
in what way?
No strings attached. Friends with benefits.
I miss sex too.
Right, I mean, sometimes you just need it.
Why does it always gotta come with complications?
And emotion.
It's a physical act, like playing tennis.
Do you want more beer?
Yeah. Let's play tennis.
My body hurts so much.
Your app.
Emma, did I have sex with anyone in this apartment last night?
No, you didn't.
So, I just passed out on your couch?
Yeah, you were naked and crying. Do you like her?
I can't date her. She's my oldest friend. Hey, we're having sex.
I know.
Did you have sex with Emma?
What's wrong?
Nothing!
Well, women start to scream, it can be misconstrued.
Just keep going!
It's just sex.
That never works.
Nah, you don't get it, bro. Jamie's different.
Does she have a penis where most girls have a vagina?
No penis.
Then she's no different.
I know, we're getting too old for this.
Sex?
Casual sex. I don't know, you feel so collegey.
Oh, I could sing some Third Eye Blind.
Okay.
Closing time. One last call for alcohol.
That's not Third Eye Blind.
I'm pretty sure that's Third Eye Blind.
Nope. You probably shouldn't snuggle.
Yeah. That just felt wrong. I think I'm falling for her.
That's a horrible idea. You're living every guy's dream right now. Why would you mess that up?
I really like you.
Why can't we just have sex?
You can't fight me. You're miniature. You fight like a hamster.
By the way, can I tell you, I thought it was hilarious. The first time I watched No Strings Attached before I saw Friends with Benefits. And the first time I watched No Strings
Attached. Wait, which one is that? Is that the Kate Winslet one or is that the Justin Timberlake one?
No, it's the Natalie Portman one.
Okay, so Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher one.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, my bad. I don't want to say Kate Winslet. Okay.
I'm confused.
Okay.
What Kate Winslet movie are you talking about?
Well, Kate Winslet, anytime you say Kate Winslet in a movie, it's like she just has sex and gets naked, so I just assumed.
You assume, since we were talking about a film about casual sex, it was Kate Winslet somewhere.
I know, I hear that argument, and I totally agree with Meryl. anyway.
No, but that one's got the more, like, Oscar bait feel to it, if you will, as opposed to No Strings Attached, or as opposed to Friends with Benefits.
So you're saying, and I'm making this clear, No Strings Attached seems like Oscar bait.
Just to be clear, I just want to make sure I'm clear. It's so hard to tell them apart. No Strings Attached, again, No Strings Attached is the Natalie Portman one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That one feels like more of a drama. It's just got more of a dramatic feel to it, whereas Friends with Benefits just feels like a straight up raunchy comedy.
Actually, I think the only real difference is the rating. I think the difference is that No Strings Attached is PG-13 and Friends with Benefits is R.
Well, I mean, when Justin Timberlake is singing in closing time while giving you oral sex, that usually would constitute an R rating.
Yeah, most of the time.
My jokes are failing.
So which one would you more likely see is the question.
Meryl. I'll see them both. There's no reason not to see them both.
You see them both.
Both, yeah, why not? I mean, it'd be funny. You know what would be really cool if these movies came out on the same weekend to see which one did better?
Actually, no, because the trailer for No Strings Attached says January, and the trailer for Friends with Benefits says summer, so...
I just wish they were coming out at the same time. I just think that
somebody can push back one of these movies.
Or you can wait.
Exactly, but I remember when I first saw No Strings Attached... I said to Andrew, because I was watching it with him at the time, I said to Andrew, oh, they changed the name from Friends with Benefits? And he totally agreed with me. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess they did. Until the second trailer came out.
You're like Mila Kunis.
I'm like, what? And then I thought it was kind of weird that both Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis are in the same movie. I guess you could call it spiritually in this sense, with the similarities between No Strings Attached and Friends with Benefits, while they're actually bodily in the same movie with Black Swan. Yeah,
I hear that there's boning in that movie.
I hear that as well.
Boning, which maybe is why they decided to do the same movie afterwards. They're like
men too.
apparently Mila Kunis likes men more than Natalie Portman, though, because she gets R instead of a PG-13.
Really though.
Well, she just likes to say fuck a lot.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, she doesn't like to say fuck, but shit's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Which one would you watch?
Can I pick neither? And move in this conversation. They look bad. I mean, I'd watch one with Natalie Portman because I like Natalie Portman. And Mila Kunis sucks. Natalie Portman. But then... Aston Kutcher is in the Natalie Portman one, right?
Fuck.
I just think like he's in the other one.
Alright, who do I hate less? Kunis or Kutcher?
Kunis ruined your apocalyptic film.
I know, she ruins most things.
But she ruined the apocalyptic film.
Yeah, but again, so. Yeah, but think about what Aston Kutcher has done for the world.
Hey! Ashton Kutcher did give us the brilliant "It Is the Butterfly Effect." So
this
don't
is true,
that
though that movie was horrible.
Did he just try to defend him with Butterfly Effect?
Yes,
he
did.
What just happened?
Ludacris is in the Natalie Portman
movie.
Literally,
Butterfly Effect. That movie's
been shit. Sorry, Meryl. What's that?
I mean, he did give us that '70s show. Let's be honest.
I never actually did watch that show, though. A lot of people have told me how good
it
is.
It's funny.
You get FX,
alright,
right?
So that cancels
right.
Each. Yeah.
So I mean they rerun that 70s show.
Kunis is in 40 no, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, she
right?
is.
Alright, now Kutcher. He's in The Killers.
Dude Wears My Car.
Oh, alright. So I'm going with Portman. I love that. Oh my goodness, I must have seen that I mean, it's terrible. Don't get me wrong. I've seen that like 100 times.
Sean William Scott.
Dude, sweet.
All right, I think I need to watch that movie.
What does mine say?
Sweet.
Do with my car?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You see what I'm saying about comedy? You see what I'm saying about comedy? How look
again,
trips one to left, left to right.
I love it.
I have to say, I would pick Natalie Portman because even though I don't like Ashton Kutcher, I think at the same time he generally has that fun character that he does, which would work in this
He's
kind of movie.
He's played the unwanted boyfriend.
Yeah, but Justin Timberlake has a Justin Timberlake who's playing the Ashton Kutcher version in My in Friends with Benefits. It's Justin Timberlake is a funnier guy than Ashton Kutcher. And I think if I had to pick one, I'd rather watch Justin Timberlake than Ashton Kutcher.
The only thing for me is that I think I would end up picking Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis because I'd be promised unity in that one. And Mila Kunis naked. I think that's a good thing.
Do people forget that Google?
You know what's funny though? I bet you that all the nudity in that movie are from side characters.
I guarantee it. There's no way Mila Kunis is going to show. There's just no way.
Hey, she's done it before.
No, she hasn't.
Yes, she has. Check out... Yeah. What the hell is the name of the movie? Something about Base Camp or... It's like she... Camp something. I don't know. Check it out. It's...
Yeah,
she gets kidnapped and... taken somewhere.
Google
I don't
camp
know.
Something for me, please.
Go to IMDb and get her name. It's like some horrible movie.
Just Google camp something.
Came out a while ago.
Camp something.
Camp something.
Control F. Camp.
Boot camp?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Unrated. Oh, shit. 5.8.
Okay, yeah, I guess you're right.
Alright, so you can Google that image and skip that movie.
Go.
Alright.
Yeah.
So, wait, hold on. By the way, I'd like to say for all of you bitches that were just making fun of me, Camp Something was right, motherfucker.
No, it's Boot Camp. Boot Camp. It would have been Something Camp. That's right.
And with that, I guess we can move on into our future review. But Meryl, we're going to have to say bye to Meryl at this point. Meryl, thanks for joining us tonight. Can you tell the people where to find you on the internet if you would like?
Okay, it's going to be a long-ass list. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/song43. You can find me on fatguysandmovies.com, my two shows, Satellite Spotlight and The Idiot Boxers. Tune in. When is this airing?
This will be up by Sunday.
Okay, this is up by Sunday, so... Go to Fat Guys in the Movies. You can hear me and Hatch talk about Tony Scott in our latest episode. You can find me on the new service, VU.com, where I can answer your questions through visual medium of video. VU.com/Sonic43. Find me on Facebook, Facebook.com/MerylJBarr. You can find my show at Twitter.com/CellulateSpot and Facebook.com/CellulateSpotlight and TheAboxers at Twitter.com/TheAboxers and Facebook.com/TheAboxers.
Dude, that was
impressive.
Epic.
Is there anywhere you don't write for? Engadget.
Oh yeah, I heard of Film School Rejects. I forgot about that. Film School Rejects.
Oh, of course.
And MerylBarr.com. Okay, now I'm done.
Yeah.
Alright, well Meryl, once again, thanks for joining us.
Later.
Alright.
Alright, later Meryl.
Here in Canyonland, USA.
Hey, Aaron. Mom still has not heard from you. Will you just call her, please? I'll talk to you soon.
And this morning, on the Boulder, we have a very special guest, Aaron Ralston!
Oh, gosh, it's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Okay, so I guess we can talk about 127 Hours. This is a movie that I selected and decided that we should watch.
Especially since
what meat grass? What the hell? Why would I make you want to watch Leaves of Grass? Come on, we've seen that already.
So, Slumdog Millionaire. I think it's a sequel, right? This 127 Hours is a sequel to Slumdog Millionaire.
I think so, yes.
127 Hours after.
Oh, that's what happened.
Girl.
See, now the title makes sense. I was confused.
Anyways, it's actually about Aaron Ralston, who went...
Who?
Aaron Ralston.
Oh, some white dude, alright.
Who decided it was a smart idea to go without telling anyone where he was going.
I'm going to be white today.
Running around Utah, canyoneering, that's the word, right? Canyoneering around the rocks in Utah. And he got stuck under a rock for $127, and it's about how he ended up surviving. So, Damien, what did you think about this movie?
I think it's white. I told you in the trailer. There's no other way for me to put it. It's just white people being white. Aggressively so, I might add. I can't sympathize with the character at all, because I would never be in this situation. I do not understand his logic for putting himself in this situation.
Alright, so, Damien.
And I know what you're going to ask me. If by some miracle...
No. Let's... Right. I'm not even going to pretend into that.
Right.
Imagine you're in a similar situation.
Exactly.
And hold on, stop. Mm-hmm. You still had no options other than what he had
mm-hmm.
at that point. And you got there. I'm not going to say you were running around rocks.
So what you're saying is he was watching... What you're saying is... Damien was sitting down and watching maybe two or three movies straight,
right.
And
I was teleported.
Not even teleported. Then what happened was the bass from his $5,000 speakers were a little bit too much, so that one of the speakers fell over and smacked him on the arm. And because the speaker is so expensive, it's
and
really
so
heavy,
right.
As well, so he couldn't actually lift it up. But what he did was he bought a $5 million apartment. That nobody knows about, because he wanted to be one with the movie.
Yes.
And so also this apartment doesn't have any landline telephones, and it has a cell phone jammer.
Phone is too far
away. Okay. So this is the situation.
Yeah. I'm not on Facebook, I'm not on Twitter.
Right.
There's no way for me to get
this. This is a plausible thing for you.
Right.
So no, go.
Right. When I build my personal back cave / movie cave, right, one of the speakers falls from the ceiling, drops on my arm. I need to somehow.
And all you have is a bottle of water and a knife.
Right.
No. He has a bag to pee in.
That too.
Because you need that when you're doing a movie marathon.
Yeah. I just thought I'd have bought one of the couches that doubles as a toilet, but never mind that.
It was broken.
Yeah, I'd have stabbed myself in the neck. I don't know.
you can't just give up the premise and just
deal with what's happening in the movie. I tried, right? But that my brain just doesn't work like that. It's the same way when I saw Frozen. I would love to be able to suspend, you know. I know this actually happened. Right?
You can't say your disbelief.
Right. Even though when I heard about it, I went... Of course. I mean, it's like when I hear that people are mauled by tigers or attacked by sharks. It's the same, like, part of me, a very small part of me, wants to be sad. But the rest of me is too busy thinking, why did you put yourself in the... The whole time I sat down there, honestly, the whole time I sat
so
there, I was just going,
people.
Why would you have done this?
Like, when I was watching this movie, there were people behind me who, as things were going on, and as, like, he was chipping at the rock, and he was going like, I can't get it out, people behind me would go like, this is so ridiculous. And, you know, these are people who, if they went to Saw, they'd be like, oh, I love this shit.
No, I mean, it's not, like, I applaud him for, you know, having the balls to cut his own arm off. I'm pretty sure it's not a spoiler at this point. sure.
As far as I'm concerned, once it's a historical fact.
No, that's not fair.
But you know, I mean, that's not, it's really an obscure story.
There's a lot of people.
No, no, this is not an obscure story.
I didn't know about
because
it.
You don't read the Time magazine, the Newsweek magazine. Andrew, this was the headline story for a good, like, month.
Hold on. So years from now, when they make the movie about the Chilean miners, Andrew,
Wait, hold on. You can get trapped in mines in Chile? No. No.
I didn't know Chile had mines.
Alright, speak. I'm glad. Alright. No, if at the time I was going, so what if I worked in a mine?
Hold
right?
on, before we go any further, the question is, do you have a problem with the Chilean miner story? So when they made the Chilean Miner movie in 5 years...
So, right, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying maybe if... But even then, there'd still be some form of communication. That's what... I mean... Even the miners had some way to communicate with people. Everyone knew they were there and they found some way to communicate with them.
But after a while...
Yes. But what I'm... That is the part that I can bring my... Like, that is where my suspension of... That's where it stops. The mere fact that he had no way to communicate with the outside. I am not that person. That situation, I can guarantee you, would never happen. If I am going anywhere that is remote, I have to, the first thing I'd bring with me is some way to communicate.
But I mean,
with other people, everyone who goes on these kind of trips and does this kind of thing, the first thing that they tell you is, yo, you're going to need some way to communicate if shit goes sideways. Yeah. And he ignored all of that.
I get what you're saying. However, you're talking about what you would do. But this is a character who, you see from the beginning,
that
he thinks he's Superman.
No,
and on top of which, even if you would find a way, you saw even when the girls were walking around, they're like, we have no signal here and stuff. So even if he took phone with him, it wouldn't work in that area. And it's,
I think
it's
what Darren's trying to say is that he would have brought a satellite phone.
Exactly. People who want to go, I'm not saying that the movie is bad. You've never heard me say that the movie is bad.
You said it's exceedingly white.
It is exceedingly white. Anyone who wants to go see this movie, you can go and see it. If you can sympathize with the character, you'll absolutely enjoy this movie. Because Danny Boyle, I mean, it's a Danny Boyle film. He knows how to make movies. It is, it's a well-made movie. It's just that the subject matter, I cannot connect with. And I've seen it happen with, my sister hates Sympathy for Lady Vengeance. Because she can't see herself doing what the girl did. She just, there's just no way she sees herself in that situation. Even if she was placed in the situation, had all the means, she couldn't bring herself to do any of that. Well, I love that movie because I am that person. I've done all of that. Right? And so that's the situation I'm having with this movie. I just cannot see myself in this situation ever.
But doesn't the movie give you enough to understand why he's in that situation?
Yes. But why he's in the situation is because, as I said repeatedly, he's exceedingly white. All right.
If you hear, hold on. I have to say one thing.
If you hear my
One thing.
About $5,000.
Damien, I think your statements about him being very white is very non-PC and very racist. No. What I think you should know, you should be saying that he's very untanned. Okay.
All right. Sorry. I'm very sorry. Let me not blanket all of white dumb.
But no. Isn't it the tan people who would be all kindering?
When you hear about black and black violence, like there are certain crimes when you hear them, you go, clearly this was a black person. And there are certain things you hear, you go, yeah, that was clearly a white person, right? And it's the truth. I mean, people don't like to say it because there's this whole PC thing that you're not supposed to cross that line. It's the truth. No black person would ever be in that situation. Let's be honest.
How did you feel when the movie was over and they showed the images of him with, like, the hook out in the ice?
He deserved it. and he went back out, and he went back. So he's essentially looking at God and say, "Come on, bitch, let's see." No. All right, come on, try again. You failed the last time. I'm better than this. He loves the thrill. I don't understand it.
But last year, one of your favorite movies, actually not last year, technically, but the year before at least, one of your favorite movies was The Hurt Locker.
Yeah,
which was about a guy who is an adrenaline junkie and puts himself in dangerous situations on purpose just for the sake of getting the rush, which is basically the same thing as Aaron Ralston.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, how on white is going to go and disarm bombs?
Yes, but he is doing it to protect other people. He's doing it partially for himself. But that is a job.
He'd be doing it if the other people weren't there.
But that is a job that he's been given. And it is a very important job that has to be done. Right? I can see myself. If I was trained to do that, I can see myself doing it. Right? Yes, he got off on the adrenaline. But that is something that I can see. It's just something unique to me. I just can't.
I'm just trying to logic it out. Because you see what I'm my it's point,
the whole,
right?
I understand. But it's the whole, this whole, like, venturing into the woods and leaving everything behind and no communication. And it just doesn't make, what the hell is out there? Can someone please explain to me what is in bush? We have Blue Mountain. If there wasn't a path leading all the way up there, I wouldn't be the one walking up there. In hopes that you see, I don't get it. What do you go there? What do they go there to do? In the woods to connect with what? What nature? That's what the excuse is. I don't get it.
Douglas, what do you think it is?
All right. So I have to get on my list. It was well acted.
Right. No, it's up there.
The cinematography was fantastic. Okay, so here's what I really thought about this movie. I liked it in spirit. But
James Franco was great.
James Franco was great. He was fantastic. But I think it suffered because it was a true story. Not because I knew, because they couldn't do anything with it. They couldn't juice it up. So for example, I will give a comparison of a very similar movie, Buried.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Buried, and Buried was even more remote, even more taken away from everything
even
else.
He had a
right?
cell phone.
anyway, exactly. So in Buried, as opposed to this movie, there is actually never a scene where it is not him in the coffin. There is one that's questionable, but at least 99% of the time, it's you and him in the coffin and nothing else. This movie is different. This movie, you know, you skip to a lot of what happens before and what's happening during and what he's thinking about and all of that good stuff.
Cheesecake.
Exactly. Now, I was not a fan. I actually enjoyed the first piece of it, the setup. Then he got himself pinned and everything was fine. I was cool with it.
And the rocks attacked him.
but the problem I had, actually, I didn't like that scene at all. the problem I had with this film was that it was clear that there was, once he got pinned, there was not enough content to have a rest of the movie. So they decided that they had to add a lot of filler. They had to add a lot of, what am I thinking about today? What regrets do I have? You know, and
Zoom.
Yeah, and
we know what
I'm
Rock
not
looks
saying
like, so
that this is not something that will appeal to somebody else, because people love these feel-good things about how people feel and how
how bad last is our
yeah, you know,
the feel-good story.
And to take
cut it off. So
no, but it's but I didn't like that at all. I enjoyed scenes where he was going crazy. Like there was a scene when he pretended as if he was on a morning show. And I thought that was fantastic. I thought that was great. There are a lot of scenes where he's talking into the camera and giving instructions.
Beholden into reality, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing in the sense
that's actually what you are saying.
No. I know. What I'm saying is all right, so I'm not saying that's a bad thing. If you're going to tell a true story, tell the true story. Yes. But what I'm saying is that when the true story is not enough, don't then say, okay, we're still going to tell the true story, but we need an extra half hour.
Oh, you should have just cut the movie.
Are you saying they fabricated?
No, I did not say they fabricated. I'm sure that...
They padded,
exactly. I'm sure
they
that...
They gave you a taste
this
of the
was,
127 hours.
Exactly. And not just... I mean, they kept going to, like, this girlfriend that I guess probably was his ex-girlfriend, but you're not sure. And,
if they had wolves attack him, I had to fend them off.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, that would have been great.
Yeah, it would have been a lie,
but it's a lie.
Awesome.
So that was my problem with the movie. The fact that there was nothing more for them to tell me after a certain point, except, of course, for the big finale. And
I'm really confused at this point.
It hurts.
Wait, at me?
Yeah. Like you talk about all this padding, and I think I know what you're pointing to. Not are you pointing to the flashbacks or the things that he's actually doing while under the rock?
No, not the things that he's doing. The things that he's doing they're fine. The scenes with him that are real and are in the crater, I'm completely okay with. I really like those scenes.
Okay.
The scenes with him in the crater where he's going a little bit crazy and he's starting to think he's on TV shows and whatnot, I'm fine with that. The things in the crater when he's like talking to his parents and he's giving instructions to whoever may find the camera, fine with that. When you get to the things where like he's starting to regret, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have come here. I'm going to start thinking about my girlfriend.
No.
Oh my goodness, I shouldn't have come here. I'm going to hallucinate about some sort of huge event. We're going to now go to this random cut-up scene with a lot of people in it. I'm not sure what that was about. And there was much more of that than necessary. It was clear that they had that in there because the truth of the matter is that the story is he did a bunch of stuff while he was, you know, with his friends and then he went off on his lonesome. He got stuck. He waited for a while and maybe got a little bit crazy and then he cut off his arm. But that little bit, that bit while he's in the 127 hours, there's nothing to tell other than I got crazy. I got a little bit more crazy. I ran out of water. I ran out of supplies. And then there's nothing. And in order to pad that nothing, in order to make that nothing into a little bit more of a something, Boyle said, okay, we're going to make him think about all of these other things.
But you see, I completely disagree with you because even though I get what you're saying. Those things that he's thinking about and regretting, those are the things that actually pushes him to want to live on and then makes him cut off his arm and run away to go and make them better. Because if you don't regret anything in your life, then you're like, well, I guess I could have gone home and done something tomorrow, but...
Okay,
I'll just keel over at this point.
Sure, there's always going to be motivation for what you
and
do in every...
And without those regrets, there's no motivation
for you to
survive.
Yeah, but there's always... Alright, there's always motivation for any action that you take and anything that happens in a movie. What I'm saying is that the way they show this motivation, which is just these flashbacks and these imaginary tales, is... I suppose some people may think it's entertaining. I think it's filler.
Boring.
It's unnecessary. But at the same time, I understand that there wasn't much else for them to do. Because you can't mess with the story.
But you could have. Killing wolves. There's no masturbating scene, which we know. I mean, it's a man... by himself in the woods. That must have happened at some point. What else? Being attacked by mosquitoes.
Yeah, 127 hours.
Oh yeah, no, he...
What? I'm confused. So Andrew, you clearly love this movie.
I really did.
Of course you did. And you're planning your trip to Wilderness Land.
Yes, I am.
Next year. Right after TIFF.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, I'll just go into the woods, you know.
Yeah, Canada is all woods.
And
people live
I'll get lost there.
There's like 10,000 people that live there.
I'll fight a bear.
Right along the border.
I'll lose a leg. I'll come back with a wooden one. People call me a parrot and I'll tell them my story. And they'll make a movie about me.
I'll laugh and trip you all the time. Every time you walk past, I'll trip you.
I thought this movie was really fantastic. The scenes...
Fanboy. Danny
fanboy.
Boy, fanboy.
The guy who shouted Slumdog shouldn't win the Oscar is a fanboy.
Yeah, but then in the same breath said, but it's an amazing movie.
You're perfect.
Why you great up? That's so
yeah, cool. Whatever.
Alright,
so you love me. Andrew, why are you apologizing for liking a movie? I don't understand that. It's okay to love me. You
what
might be wrong.
What I really liked about this movie was once you got to be under the rock, even though they took you away from it at moments for a couple flashback scenes, like whenever you were under the rock with Aaron.
Can you stop saying that? Mama, I can't. Look, I've been fighting off this joke the entire time. Just please stop saying it.
What's the joke? Under the rock?
Little Mermaid song.
Under the sea.
I keep singing Under the Rock in my head. It's getting worse and worse. Please stop.
Like when you're with him under the rock and he's just chipping away all day, or he's making this pulley to try and pull, like the way the camera is and how we're with him at all times, it just feels engaging, and that's what I liked about the film. It engaged me. It made me not want to blink for the next 90 minutes.
Continue.
And that's what really got me with this movie, on top of the fact that the story was an uplifting story, even when we got to the end of the movie and he was free and moving on and all of that was happening and you saw everyone helping him, like I really liked that moment. It was just a moment that I felt the film earned for me, and it was just I almost cried.
Like, you almost cry when he got from under the rock?
No, when the people were helping him afterwards. So, as he was
after he got from under the rock, when he went.
like I remember while I was watching the movie, I was like, alright, what they should have done was after he killed like the pack of wolves, someone should have come. Someone should have come to try and help him. God, oh shit, I can't help. Try to run away, and then rocks attacked him. It should have just been this running joke of people trying to help him, and then rocks killing them. I'm sorry.
So we have one negative, one mediocre.
No, look, again, you see, I don't want people to think that I don't like the movie because it's a bad movie. I don't like the subject matter of the movie. I think it's ridiculous. Yes, it is true, but I cannot connect with it in any way. The movie, as a movie, is good.
So you're
Danny Boyle knows what he's doing.
So hold on, you're saying you can only like a movie if you can connect with it?
Yeah, generally.
Yes. pretty much.
Generally.
I have to connect to something.
I don't watch
Lifetime movies.
Yeah, yeah. What I would say is not that you have to connect with it, but if there is a disconnect, you cannot like it. If you look at the movie, and it's not that you don't connect, but you look at it and you say, I could never, ever connect with this, then I understand somebody not liking it at all. It's like me and Twilight. All of these uplifting, wonderful movies like flipping Push by Sapphire. I can't watch that movie. I hate it. But at the same time, I understand. It is technically good, you know?
I just realized who we're talking about.
Precious.
I don't know why no one I've never heard anyone make that joke for that movie.
No, I've made it many times. Andy Serkis would have made a movie 10,000 times better.
Precious.
Anyways, on that note,
just walking behind her on her way to school. Just whispering.
Precious. I'm so much better. And on that note, I guess we can say goodnight.
I hope the people at the gig are here to say.
They're like, what? Andrew, we rescind our...
The ink robot.
They go from door to door. And they're like, we would like to please confiscate your Saturday cleaners. We are no longer associated with that man.
Oh, you have half a page, son.
Yes, that's fairly awesome.
I know you're rich.
And on that note, we can say goodnight. So, this is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
With the... Why is with and the in caps? What kind of asshole wrote this? With the... Wow, the game has really improved their standards, haven't they? This is impressive.
You can find all of my writings on gmurdergoose.com as well as in the Saturday Gleaner now.
Oh shit, son!
I'm on Twitter at gmurdergoose.
You're now twice a sellout. Oh, this is impressive.
By the way, for you guys who don't know, and I'm sure most of our listeners don't know, you can get all the articles from the Saturday Gleaner and any other daily Gleaner at jamaicagleaner.com.
Jamaica-Gleaner.
No, they have both, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I just know Gleaner.
Or you could Google that shit.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Google would find it.
Damien, can they find you?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
They can find me. I am DJ R Lost His Name on Twitter.
It's funny how the guy with, like, the worst taste in movies of all of us is publishing the glitter.
Yeah, really and truly. What's
the one,
going on
the
here?
One with the worst background in movies because he hasn't seen any classics until like last year or sometime. And they're like, this guy.
So you're letting the Butcher Boy beat me?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I remember a famous "I don't like westerns" quote that lingers somewhere in the ether. I don't like westerns.
I've removed every mention of that. You were
like,
saying
I like movies.
Oh, you know, just that you can find me at DJ I Lost His Name on Twitter. Every once in a while, gmanreviews.com, and hopefully within the next couple of weeks at decaffeinationreport.com.
Can I get a copy of this?
No, that's the only one I have.
But just
I'll get a copy.
When you said a copy, it, yes. I imagined you meant
scan it and email it to me, and I'll print one out. Because I take pride in my friends' achievements, even still.
And remember, you can like us on Facebook. There's facebook.com/gmurdergoose. We've hit 100 fans on Facebook, which is really awesome.
I should join. Oh, no.
So thanks for listening and good night.